Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Marnie Swedberg. Welcome to another edition of Marnie's Friends. We are right now gearing up for the Bible Study Expo, which starts in just a couple weeks, and we're very excited to have a guest with us today who's going to talk about the subject, how to handle the tough stuff. The training is for Bible study leaders or those who are thinking about being a Bible study leader. But if you're just in a Bible study and you listen along, it's going to help you to be a better Bible study participant. First of all, you won't be one of the people generating the tough stuff. And also, if it happens in your Bible study, you will be able to actually be helpful and to assist. So having said that, I'm excited to welcome our guest today, Kay Daigle, and her website is kdaigle.com. It's D-A-I-G-L-E is the last name. K is K-A-Y, and then D-A-I-G-L-E.com. Kay has been a Bible study leader and trainer, teacher for a long time. She is joining us today, even though she's had really an interesting week, and in fact, just cautions us that there might be some background noises going on today, but just we're so excited to have her join us today to talk about working through the tough things that come up as a Bible study leader. Kay is not only a Bible study leader, but she's a wife, a mom, mother-in-law, a lifelong learner, a Bible studier herself, and most of all, she's just a woman who desires God to transform her beyond the ordinary, and she's here to help us as we work with people in our Bible studies to help us all be the best we can be for Jesus Christ. So welcome to you, Kay.
Thank you, Marnie. It's great to be with you.
Well, Kay, when I found you online, I was very excited because you have a real passion for Bible study. So why don't you give us a little bit of background of maybe why we should listen to Kay when it comes to handling tough stuff at Bible studies.
Well, I think the primary reason that I have anything to say is because I probably have experienced everything we're going to talk about, and I didn't always handle it the right way. So sometimes you learn through your negative experiences what works best, and I have been sharing those ideas and those experiences of my own with Bible study leaders who have worked under me. I've served as the minister to women in two different churches for a total of 10 years and led the Bible studies and trained all of the leaders. And they always found these things helpful so that they were not left to discover these things on their own as I was.
Right. Well, I just have to tell you that we've had so much feedback about this particular training. All the trainings have had a good response, but this one in particular, I think because it's so tough to get caught unprepared, and yet you didn't even know you should be prepared until you're there. And so that's what's very exciting about today's training. And if you're just joining us and you haven't already done so, if you go to marniesfriends.com, marniesfriends.com, you can download the training notes that Kay put together for you. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the number one tough thing that comes up, at least in the mind of a Bible study leader. Maybe it's not so hard when it actually happens, but it's a little scary to think about it before it happens. What is a person supposed to do when someone in your Bible study asks you a question that you just don't know the answer to?
Well, first of all, I think we need to relax about that and not feel like we are there to be the Bible study answer queen. It is really not our place to feel like we need to know all the answers. Now, I know there is that feeling comes over you when someone approaches you with those kinds of questions, but the thing to do is just relax and realize that that's not your role. You don't have to know all the answers. It's not really so much about us anyway. As the leader, we really are there to empower other women as they study the Word of God and as they grow and learn and are discipled. And so we don't have to be the person that has all the answers for them. In fact, sometimes it's really good to have them do some research themselves. And they really will learn more that way than if we just come up with, you know, let me tell you the answer sort of approach. So sometimes I think it's even good to have them research it for themselves, even if you do know the answer. And I think it's good for the group to know that you can mature in the faith and study the Bible, and there still are things that you don't totally understand and that you're still in the process of learning yourself. All those are really positive things that you're teaching them when you let them know, I'm not really sure of that answer. I would be happy to find it out, or why don't we look at it together? You know, you can you can handle it a number of ways depending on what the question is. You could have them research it for themselves. You could say, I'll talk with you about it later. Or you could say, you know, let me do a little digging and get back to you.
I love that. Those are great answers. Oh, something's coming to my mind as you're talking that I'm going to share here. One of the very first Bible studies that I led that didn't have like a book with it, I just was doing the Bible studies. I had led a couple ladies to Christ, and they had some friends who wanted to find out about God. And so I said, well, let's just get together for a Bible study, and we'll just do it every week. You guys decide when, and we'll make it work. And so the first day that we had this Bible study, we were just going to sit on the back porch, and they brought some ladies. And the very first, like within, I'm going to say within 5 or 10 minutes of us getting launched in this thing, one of the gals who wasn't even a friend of the person who did the invite, and she was a friend of a friend, and she'd ended up coming, and she says, well, maybe you could give me some advice. And she's looking straight at me, and she said, my husband is beating me up, and I don't know what to do about it. And I thought,
oh my goodness.
I'm so far in over my head here. What are you doing with me here? And this, I have not a clue what to say to this person. And I must have looked about the same way as I felt. And one of the other ladies who came, who happened to be a very mature Christian, who just heard about these girls getting together, and she came with, she said, Marnie, do you mind if I speak to this? And I said, please. She told the amazing story in that moment of being abused by her husband for many years and not realizing until the day that she was down on the ground and her husband had the garden hose around her neck and was strangling her. And her son came to the back door, her teenage son came to the back door with a gun to shoot his father, that she realized that she needed to do something about the abuse that was happening in their home. And I sat there just shocked and amazed and went, God, you are so big to bring these two ladies right here, right now, and you don't even need me. I just get to be here and watch what you're doing. And isn't that, Kay, what you just said? We just really are facilitators. We're really not what it's all about. I love your answer. Don't worry about being the Bible study answer queen. That's awesome.
Well, or even the life answer queen to what you just said.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We don't, you know, one of the things that we have to know that we're there for is to send them to the wonderful counselor, not, we can't always know the wisest course of action for people, and we can certainly pray with them about it. We can certainly lead them to other people who know more than we do, but, you know, we don't often know what to tell somebody in those situations. And God will provide somebody who can, or he will lead us to someone who can.
That's right. That's right. That's so great. And that really kind of leads right into the next question, which is, what do you do when somebody gives an answer that seems really wrong to you? You've been talking about something and somebody just lends some truth that you really worry maybe this is a lie.
Well, I think if there's any way you begin with something positive, you word it in a more positive way. You certainly don't just jump in and say, "Well, I just think that's totally wrong." I mean, you don't want to begin that way. You want to say something like, "Well, that's an interesting perspective." You could say something like, "I've never thought of it quite that way before." Just something to make them know that it's okay that they said it.
Yeah.
You want you want your group to feel comfortable saying anything that they've been thinking and considering, because this is the greatest place for them to talk about those things. So however you begin, you want to make them feel comfortable that you accept the fact that they feel this way or that they see it this way. So you want to say something positive, just, "I'm so glad you felt free to say that or to share your feelings about that with us." You know, whatever it is, you want to somehow validate the person. And then you can follow that up with things like, you know, maybe we should look at some scriptures on that issue. Or you can even open it up to the group and say, you know, "What about the rest of you? Have you seen anything in Scripture that speaks to this issue or to this problem or to, you know, to the scriptural perspective of this issue?" Some way tying your answer to the fact that there are answers in the Bible and that we want to look at that as our source. So I would certainly want to point them in that direction. And, you know, as the leader, you may not have some scripture right off the top of your head to give them because you don't even know this person's going to say this. And so it may be very related to the lesson, and if it is, you probably do have some scripture. But if it's something else, you may not have any just right off the top of your head. And so opening it up to the group and asking them for some scriptures or suggesting that if no one has.
Oh, well, this is Marnie, and we lost Kay. You know, I don't know what's going on with this Blog Talk Radio. It seems like for the last couple of weeks, we keep losing our guests every once in a while, and that's a little bit frustrating to me, but that's just how it is, and so we are going to wait, and Kay is going to call back in. In the meantime, I'm going to tell you a little fun stuff about Bible Study Expo. We've got all of our guests. We've got a full deck of guests now. You can go over to BibleStudyExpo.com and look at all the fun authors who are going to be with us sharing their Bible study books, kind of the story behind their Bible study book. If you've ever wondered which Bible study book to do next, I encourage you to join us for that. Also, we've got Bible study training now for the next 3 weeks yet after this, before the expo, so you're going to want to check back every week for the different angles of training that we're doing today. Of course, we're doing tough stuff. And then next time we're going to do, I think that's questions. Then after that, we're going to do, let's see, after that, we have another one that's coming up that is on the fun stuff, how to make party time, slumber parties, retreats, things like that. And then, of course, the Bible Study Expo itself. And over there also right now, we're just adding the hostesses, the Facebook and Twitter hostesses. So we're going to be having live chats going on at Facebook and Twitter all during the Bible Study Expo as well, too. So if you haven't checked that out, go ahead and do that over at BibleStudyExpo.com. And I believe, Kay, are you back?
I am. I have no idea when I left.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, we knew you were missing because the sound stopped coming from your direction.
But, I'm sure it did.
Yeah, we had a good. That was a good coverage of that. What to do when somebody says something that's really wrong? I love the phrase. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I wonder if anybody else wants to weigh in on this one or give their opinion or their different opinion. And then also, you know, does anybody have a scripture verse that's coming to mind about that? What a great way to respond to that. And again, never ever to ever say that's just plain out wrong.
Because, right.
The fastest way to shut somebody down is to just tell them straight out that they're wrong.
Right. And the problem is it not only shuts them down, but it shuts the entire group down because now everyone is afraid that they're going to say something wrong.
Right, right.
So you have to keep that in mind. Another great thing about opening it to the group is it honestly gives you a minute to sit there and say, "Lord, please give me some answer here or something to say." And it gives you a moment to just think for a moment without feeling pressured to say something immediately.
Right, right. And if you actually get in the habit of doing that not only when someone says something wrong, but just all the time, when someone has something to add, then say, you know, does anybody else have anything they want to share about that? Then it's just so natural. It doesn't even feel to the person like you're, you know, picking them to ask other people to rebut or whatever. But it's just the way that you interact with each other.
Right, and that's just a great reminder that you just shared with that, because it really should be one of our first reactions to anyone sharing anything is to open it up for other people to talk as well.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, let's move on to number three, which is how to minister to both seekers and seasoned saints. You know, the illustration I used earlier, we pulled this Bible study together at that one time just for baby Christians and for gals who didn't even know God yet. But sometimes you have a group that is, I mean, you've got every spectrum. You've got the girls who don't know that the Old Testament and the New Testament are all part of the same book, you know, and you've got the gals who can quote exactly front words. So what are some keys to helping to melt this into something that can work?
Well, as I thought about that question, I really thought that this is really a good time to say that bottom line in any group like this, you as the leader need to be developing real love for the women in your group and acceptance and a whole sense of love, a sense of sharing, a sense of being part of one another's lives. Because I do think that it's that sense that begins to make the seasoned believers feel that they are contributing something to the lives of those who aren't as seasoned, and it also makes the seekers feel that they are loved and accepted by those who have been Christians for many, many years. So that is certainly part of how you develop a type of culture within your group that allows both those who have been Christians a long time and those who have not, or even simply seekers, to feel comfortable. And as I said earlier, letting them know that it's okay to ask questions and it's okay to voice their doubts, it's okay to be totally in the dark about something, and that you respond well. So in a sense, what you were just saying about just consistently dealing with people this way, that is the way that you build a group that has a variety of levels of maturity in it, is by making that so easy for people to speak up, feeling that you would never judge them or put them down in any way, that you respect their perspective and who they are, and that you care for them. As they begin to see that you really care for them individually, and you aren't just there to make them feel that you're shoveling something down their throat, the more they will respect you and be willing to share. And then if you do that, you begin to develop an atmosphere that allows both groups to be comfortable and feel like they are gaining from one another as well as giving to one another. Also, really, the central theme of a good Bible study is looking at the Word. And so if you have women who have maybe studied something many times there, what you begin to see is, if you're really focusing on the Word and your Bible study isn't sort of in name only and you're really just talking about other things, then those who have studied the Bible many times begin to see things that they've never seen. I mean, I study something and I see something I've never seen before. I know this spring I was in the Bible study that I was doing this spring, I had some women who had studied the book of Luke, which we were doing many times, and several of them by the end of the study came up to me and said, "Well, I just want you to know I saw this in Luke and I've never seen it before." And I said, "Well, I didn't point that out to you. It was just that you were in the Word and God did.
Right.
And God can use His Word wherever we are, and he does. And so I think the main thing is that it really has to be a word-based Bible study where we're going into the Word and letting God speak to us, because he speaks to us where we are. And so he speaks to the seeker as well as the seasoned saint.
Right. Right, and it is, in the end, it's his responsibility. It's not the leader's responsibility.
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
It really
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to trust that God is
right.
going to use his word in everyone's lives and where whatever their situation is, which we don't know anyway. So it's not like we can take
right.
it and say, well, I'm going to, you know, turn this particular verse and I'm going to apply it just to the seasoned saints or to the seekers. You know, I have always tried to make sure that, you know, at some point in any Bible study, you know, that the gospel is clearly presented for the seekers to make sure that they have at least heard, you know, a real good explanation of it.
Right.
But that is probably the only thing I can think of that I've ever totally done just for that particular group
mm-hmm.
of people.
Right. Now, have you ever intentionally partnered up like a seasoned saint with a new Christian or a seeker and said, you know, you guys pair off here, you guys, you know, over there like that, and do something in a smaller setting?
I haven't done it that way. What I have done is if I felt like, just after we began, somebody probably could use a little bit more one-on-one than I had to give necessarily, or they had some questions, then I might look for somebody to do that. So in
mm-hmm.
a sense, I've done it, but it's never been like a group-wide thing, if that's what you were asking. It was always
yeah.
just a particular situation.
Yeah, yeah. And then I think the other thing that's coming to mind is like with sign-up sheets or refreshments or whatever like that, if you have people who want to participate in your group, be sure to include even the seekers or the new baby Christians or the gals that don't regularly attend your church or whatever, let them sign up for things as well. Don't just say, no, we're just going to give this and you just come and receive. Most people, at least, I don't know, Kay, you can weigh in on this too, but most people from my experience really want to feel like they're part of it. They don't want to feel like they're the different one. Everybody else is different and I'm the new one, or I'm the different one. So, you know, whenever we have sign-ups for anything, we just let everybody sign up. Obviously, not if it's a leadership position, that would be different. But just as far as, like, bringing refreshments. Or, Kay, what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Marnie. And I think really, I've even read some studies where people have done some research on women who are coming into a church or any group and what makes them want to stay. And part of it is that they really do feel like they are really part of that group and they have something to give the group.
Right.
So you need
right.
to be able to allow them to give something all along the way so they do feel like I am not only there, but I'm there and I'm able to give to them.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, that's great. Okay, we're going to kind of change directions here for a little bit and go to number four here on this, how to handle long-winded talkers, prolific prayers, and rabbit trail chasers.
I loved those.
this can really be a challenge for a leader. It can become the thing that really makes it not enjoyable for her to be a leader.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. Well, one thing that I have found helps somewhat, it will not, it's not 100% cure for this, but one thing just in general that applies to all of these is that at the beginning of a Bible study, I think it's very nice to just hand out some general guidelines to everybody about the study. And in those guidelines, to do things like, you know, help us encourage everyone to have time to talk, you know. Help us, you know, talking about prayer. Keep your prayers short. Sentence prayers is what we're looking for. You know,
mm-hmm.
just things like that. Stay on target. stay on the subject as you answer something. You know, just those kinds of things. Not anything that's like do not, do not, do not, but just spoken more in the positive, written in the positive, you know, that part of our purpose is to have as many participate as would like to participate. And so, you know, let's all keep in mind to keep our comments short, to allow others to then follow up and comment on what we've said and so forth. I do think in general that can help. It will not totally take care of the problem, because if somebody comes in and just is used to doing these things in various groups, it will be real hard for just going over to guidelines one time to take care of the problem. But in a way, you do that. A guideline can help with all of these, but each one is its own issue, really. Except for the fact that certainly you need to be in prayer for God to help you have wisdom with each person and how to deal with each person. And that works for all of these. But first, the long-winded talker. Some of the ones that I have dealt with, I really thought it helped me to try to figure out why she was talking so much. You know, was she lonely? If so, it might help to just call her during the week and have a nice conversation with her where she can share some of the things that she's going to talk about at the Bible study. You know, how are you coming with your lesson? How did you feel about the questions? Was there anything particular, you know, that you really felt like God was sharing with you or something like that? If you can find out why she's talking that long, I think that it will help. I also think you can do some real practical things to help her not talk quite so much. One thing that I have suggested to leaders when they've told me they had somebody who just went on and they were having a hard time, she not only went on, but she might answer almost every question. And I would visit the group and I afterwards talked to the leader about it, and often I found that the leader was sitting in the same seat every week, and this person was right across from her. So every time she looked up, she looked in her eyes, and the woman considered that an invitation to speak. So if you can sit beside them where you're not looking right at them, and you can be looking at other people, and you can say things like, well, what about somebody else who hasn't spoken up, to invite others to participate, where even if there's one fairly long answer, at least she's not talking about everything that you talk about, every question that you bring up. And, you know, there have been times where I really just had to have a private conversation with somebody because the other group was really beginning to almost avoid the woman because she was talking so much. And I know that can seem really, really hard to do, and it is. A lot of prayer has to go into it. You have to really feel like you're approaching it the right way. But when that happens, you want to approach her with the fact that you need her to help you encourage the other women to talk more. Years ago, morning, I was real early when I hadn't led Bible study very long at all. I had a woman in one of my groups who, she had been a Greek major at a Bible college. And so as we began to talk about different things, she would share things from the Greek. And I would say after 2 weeks, the other women were hardly talking because she would go on and on with all this information, and they began to feel, you know, that they just didn't have anything to say because the information she was sharing was so technical and deep, and they, you know, I didn't know Greek. They didn't know Greek. We knew that she knew far more than we did. And so I just really prayed about it because I knew that in time, nobody really would be saying anything. She was going to be the only person talking. And so I felt like God had given me an answer. And that week I wrote a note to each woman in the group, which I wrote notes anyway. It wasn't something I was just doing because of this. But I wrote notes to each one in the group. And in her note, I said, I appreciate so much your willingness to share in the group. Would you help me encourage the other women to be as willing to share as you are? And so the next week she came into the group and she walked over to me with a big smile on her face and she said, "I got your note this week, Kay." She said, "I'll shut up."
Oh, really?
And I just laughed, and she wasn't angry. She just she really did realize she was talking too much.
Huh. Well, and what a beautiful way to say it, though.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. That was just one of those ideas that God gave me at the time that really worked really, really well with her, that because she understood what she was doing and she appreciated being told in a way that she understood it. So but that is certainly something that you need to consider if it goes on. Is a personal conversation or somehow talking to her about giving the other women a little more time to respond.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, let's talk about prolific prayers. And this kind of ties in with the next one, too, which is how to keep prayer request times in check. But let's leave that for a minute and just talk about the actual prayers themselves. We're launching into prayer time again this week, and we know that this one gal is going to probably pray for, 5-7 minutes, just all by herself before anybody else gets a chance or right in the middle of the prayer time. And we know that we all, it's a tough situation because we all value the prayer. We value the prayer. We value that she's that comfortable with God and with us to do that. But there comes a point when it makes everybody uncomfortable and it almost closes down the other people from praying when somebody goes on and on. And Kay, let's just start with what is the first idea that comes to your head about that particular thing?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is first you have to set the example as the leader of praying short prayers. Because if the leader is saying long, prolific prayers, then the women in the group also feel comfortable doing that. The second idea is that when you talk about guidelines the first week, and something should be written out, talk about prayer. Talk about how you're going to do it. Talk about sentence prayers and what that means. I think that really does help. And then the final way that I have done this really goes into this next question about keeping prayer request time in check, and that is that we have had women write down their prayer request as in some cases, and we just tell the women to read the prayer request rather than make it ad lib, so to speak. And that's real hard for some people because they just really want to add a lot to what the person said, and I understand that. But it also the positive thing about writing down prayer requests and having someone read it is that I cannot tell you how many women have tried this, and it has encouraged them that they can pray aloud. Women who are scared to death too. New believers are able to pray out loud for someone. If they had been asked to think of the prayer for themselves, they would have never done it. And so if that kind of thing is introduced as a way where we will all be comfortable praying out loud, it really does help. And it may be if somebody prays, for a real long time, as you're saying, that you also have to approach her individually and just say, "We need to start. I need your help in encouraging these other women to learn how to pray very simply so that they don't feel intimidated." And just, I believe anybody who is that in tune with the Spirit that they might be praying a long time can understand that there are women who we need to help them with baby steps right now.
Right. A couple things that are coming to my mind is, like you're saying, sentence prayers. And if I'm already aware that someone that's coming into a newly established group is a long, prolific prayer, we'll just establish that right up in front and even do popcorn praise versus long prayers. Popcorn Praise is just, again, one or two words this time, just one or two words of things that you're thankful for about God, like that you're omnipresent, that you're, you know, all-powerful, that you love me, that you're always with me, you know, just a few words,
mm-hmm.
and then move into sentence prayers for prayer request time. And now we're just going to each just share a sentence prayer. And it really does facilitate. What it does is, it, like you said, it removes all the intimidation from the new gals. And it mm-hmm. also eliminates the challenge of having someone feel like they should go on for a long time, because that's just not the setting. And then the other thing I love here, I've never heard of that one of writing a, you know, having everybody write it on their own cards and then just kind of passing them around or whatever, exchanging them. One of the things that we've done is we've passed around, and this doesn't work for every situation because you have to have a copier handy, but most homes even now have copiers. And what we do is just pass around an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and have just number down the left side and have everybody just, they can write a prayer request on there or not, and they can write 3 or 4 if they have. And then at the end, we make photocopies of that, pass those out. If anybody has an explanation they need to give about something, that's the time that they do that. And then we just go into prayer. And then everybody also has the whole prayer request list to take home. And we take it home in our Bibles. And it's just such an easy thing to do, and it's so wonderful. So what we do is we start that prayer request thing on a clipboard going around right at the beginning of the study. And that mm-hmm. goes around the whole time during the study, and then right when we get to prayer time, somebody quicks makes the copies, and then we're ready to go. So that's an idea, too.
That is a great idea, especially if you have a copier and you're able to
right.
do that. The
yep.
the cards, there are two
works
ways
anytime.
You can...
Yeah.
Yes, there are two ways you can take the cards and then have everyone pray. You can either have one woman take all the cards and type them out and email them to everyone if everyone's on email. Or you can at least trade a card with someone else so you know that somebody in the group is praying for you.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a copier available, that works out really well. Plus, it gives everyone an opportunity to pray aloud because
yeah.
they have a card right in front of them and they know exactly what to pray. So I think all those are great ideas. It just kind of depends on your situation and what would work best for your own group.
Right, right. Well, we're going to progress now into question number 6, which is really such a tricky one. It happens occasionally, and it's just can be really, really hurtful. It's how to gently respond to a judgmental spirit. I want to just share leading into this, I guess new believers in my life, and a question I recently got was, I had mentioned reading the book of John, and the person said, oh, do I have to buy another book other than the Bible? You know, I mean, they didn't know that the book of John was in the Bible, a book in the
mm-hmm.
Bible. You know, and these new baby believers, there was a time we had a new baby believer in our study, and she was telling, she's given a testimony of how God had protected her. And here was the testimony. She was dancing in a bar with a man, and a different man was hitting on her, and she was scared, and she prayed, God, protect me from this other man. And right away, someone else came and took him out of the scene, and she felt so protected by God. Now, for those of us who don't, you know, frequent bars and who that would seem
mm-hmm.
like the strangest prayer request to say, this was my answer to prayer this week. But for her, it was huge. It was huge. It was one of the first times in her entire life that she had actually experienced God's protection, and it was
mm-hmm.
a legitimate praise for her. So how do we, first of all, I think just awareness as a leader that some of your people are going to be on way, 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 way different pages than you. And it's okay because God's on the page that they're on. If he's in them or if he's, you know, working on their hearts, it's okay. He's so chill with where they're at. But what are some thoughts that you had, Kay, for us about how to gently respond to a judgmental spirit?
Well, I was thinking of a few times when, and I can't even remember exactly what someone in the group said, but when someone else just almost jumped all over them for feeling that way, or, you know, as in your example about the bar, if someone had just jumped in and said, well, what were you doing in a bar in the first place,
right,
you know,
exactly.
and on and on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like some things that are helpful to do in such situations is to turn to the person who has been judged or accused or might even feel that way, even if the other person didn't intend it to come across that way, and just somehow say, I understand how you feel. Or say to the person who, if you're talking in general about somebody, it may not be somebody in the group, and she continues to express judgmental attitudes toward people, to say to her, I understand why you feel that way. You know, when I see people making mistakes, I feel that way. I want to just shake them sometimes and help them see that they're making mistakes. But if the person's in the group that they are accusing or judging or somehow making this person feel badly, really, I think the leader has to realize that her job is to try to protect the person that's being hurt, and somehow to say something to show that you understand, you know, how she feels, as well as understanding how the other person may feel. I mean, this is one of those things. There's no real cut and dried answer here, and it's the very reason that as leaders we have to have spent so much time with God in our preparation, so that He can really, His Spirit can just lead us in that moment as to how to respond to the different people, either the one who is being judgmental and the other person who's right there in the room, or just being judgmental in general. But I know that if they're being judgmental in general, in a way, that's a little bit easier, because at least you can, you don't have a person right there in the room that you're necessarily trying to protect. But often, if somebody's being judgmental, they don't know that there's somebody in the room that it applies to. And so somehow you have to help that person see that she's being judgmental without necessarily saying it, but just talking about how maybe you might have tended to see people that way in the past, but then you've remembered your own sins. You have seen, you know, that you have places of where you're blind and that you struggle, and you have your own sins that you struggle with, and all that has helped you give more grace to people. You might have some other ideas, Morning. This is really, really a tough one.
I realize as you're speaking that God actually gave me a story, a personal story that I always use in a situation like that. And I guess I didn't realize until just now when we were talking about this that I have this in the back of my head that it's always, you know, not always the right thing, but oftentimes it's been the right thing to use. And I'll share it with all of you now. And then you can ask God, you know, is that something I should have ready, or is there a different thing that you want to bring to my mind, God, to have ready? But I had led a gal to Christ many years ago, 25 years ago or whatever, and she was going to church and she was still smoking and just getting to know God, you know, a little bit at the beginning there. And one day, after she had quit smoking, just recently though, she walked by someone, two girls, to her and another lady together, walked by this person and then into a different part of the church, and the one lady looked at her and said she was just smoking. I could smell it on her. And my friend, this new baby Christian who had just barely gotten victory over that, said, isn't it a good thing that all sins don't smell? And I said, you said that right then? You thought of that right then in the minute? But it's just such a good reminder that no matter what sin is happening, whether it's big or little, whether it's a new Christian or old Christian, whatever, we all deserve God's judgment and wrath except for Jesus, and we can just embrace. And what's beautiful is that, okay, to me what's beautiful is that we don't see a lot of this judgmental spirit happening in Bible studies and in church groups. A lot of times what we see is God's grace and God's love just being extended and just flowing out toward people. It's really the rare situation where we find this. And in that situation, just like you've been saying, to remind whoever it is that's speaking or is being spoken to that we all have that if we were going to sit and look at it, we would be able to find some shoot arrows at all of us, you know? And that,
absolutely.
That's just not okay to do in a group. And our next question kind of has the same kind of a feel to it. It's how to keep the fix-it boxes in the group from overwhelming others who share concerns. And this is again, one of the things, like answering a question, we never want to have somebody feel like, if I share here, I'm going to get, a list of the 10 things I need to do, or I'm going to get looked down on because I have this problem. It should never play.
Right. And the other thing is that sometimes when we share something, we just need to share it. We aren't looking for somebody to tell us how to fix it. And so often the tendency of women is to think, oh, let me help you with this. And their heart is right that, you know, they just want to help the person. But no two people's situation is usually exactly the same. And just because you've gone through something similar doesn't mean that how you fixed it is necessarily going to fix their situation. So that can be an issue. If somebody really shares a deep hurt, a deep concern, a deep problem that they're going through, often somebody will want to give them advice. Well, let me just tell you what to do about that. Let me suggest that you do this. I do think one thing that helps is if the leader immediately responds and takes control of the situation rather than just opening it up to anyone to say whatever in such a situation. I think often it's just great to say, we just want to take some time to pray, and we want
That's
to now
so
turn
great.
This situation over to the real counselor, the source of all wisdom, Jesus. And
right.
I'm going to pray for her, and I just want all of you to pray silently along with me, and we will pray, and we will take this situation to the throne of grace so that she can gain wisdom straight from God about it, because we don't know how to deal with this, you know, and just take control of it immediately, I think is really the best thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. To just go straight to prayer. And even if somebody right in the middle of your study is expressing something that they've been through recently, that's been very painful for them or whatever it is appropriate right then to stop and pray, not wait till prayer time. I mean, sometimes it would break the flow of what you're doing, but most of the time in a small group setting, especially if someone shares something and it's, you know, there's tears or whatever, just express compassion right in that moment. I don't know, Kay, is that what your thoughts are too?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think you're exactly right. And I think really if you don't, I think you may have less attentiveness to what you're about to do than you would have, because
right.
it's like you bring closure, not total
yeah.
closure, but you know what I mean, closure to
yeah.
to her expression of her problem, is that you're all able to pray for her, you have done something for her, and now you can go on and complete your discussion.
And then of course bring it up again during prayer time and add it there also. But I just feel like a lot of times we really either open it up for people to talk about it now for 15 minutes, or we can take it right to prayer, and it's just such a beautiful way to respond to that. I love that. So that's great. Okay, we are going to move along to number 8 now, how to downplay non-essential denominational differences. And I think that what we want to do here is get real clear about what that would be. And it would be if we've got the plan of salvation, which is that everybody's a sinner, that God loves us, that Jesus died on the cross for us, that we have the opportunity to believe and receive that he did that for us personally, and that if we do that, that God will move into us, actually, and take residence in us and live with us for the rest of our lives. So if we say that those are the essentials. And then beyond that, from my perspective, Kay, everything else is non-essential as far as boy, you know, whether we're going to get dunked or dipped or whether we're going to get, you know, I mean, there is a whole reef of of stuff that, and maybe you're listening and you're saying, but that is the most important thing, whether you're dunked or dipped, and but I'm just saying that when you're working with a big group of women, a bunch of different gals from maybe a melting pot of backgrounds, these other things really are non-essential, and it's really critical for us to get our heads around the fact that God can deal with any kind of improper doctrine that you or I may have, or even that some of the gals in our study have.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where are you standing on that one, Kay?
No, I totally agree with you. I do think that. You know, even when I really was leading women in the church, I always made sure at the beginning of our Bible study that we talked about the fact that this Bible study had women from many denominations, because I wanted those women to have that in their mind from the very beginning.
Right.
So that they were being careful not to just, you know, say something without really thinking about it, thinking everybody agrees with her. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because some often these things are not said to hurt anybody. They just honestly think everybody, if they're at Bible study with me, they probably agree with me. And that's just not necessarily the case at all. And it isn't when you have seekers in the group, and it isn't if you open the group up to women from outside denominations. And so I do think that it helps a whole lot for everybody to be real alert to the fact that there are women of many denominations, probably even in their small group. And for the leader, you know, if something like that comes up, again, she just might want to take control immediately and just say, you know, that is one of those things that out of our group, we have several denominations, and I know we look at that differently. It's just one of those things in the Bible that we have different perspectives on, because it's not quite as clear as some of the other things, and they just go on.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a couple stories I want to share here. One is we had a ladies' night out event that went on for, I think it was about 2 years, every month, and we had gals from all over the community, gals that were totally unchurched, all the different denominations got involved in this thing, and it was at our church, and our gals mostly hosted it, but we just had a blast together and always had a plan of salvation as well as an encouraging word for Christians at each of the events. Well, at one of the events, there was an interaction time, and someone just, not like you said, not thinking at all about who all was present, said, you know, I just don't think that, like in the Bible it talks about don't use vain imaginations, and I think these people that say the Lord's Prayer every day, I don't think that they really mean it. Well, a Lutheran pastor, a female Lutheran pastor was there, wonderful Christian gal, and she just perked right up, and she said, that's interesting. She said, now, I agree that you shouldn't just say things and not mean them. I agree with you. But she says, every morning when you brush your teeth, do you think about it, and do you brush your teeth only if you're thinking about brushing your teeth? Because for my teeth, it even does them good if I'm not thinking about it. And that's how I think about the Lord's Prayer. And I just laughed out loud. I thought, that is hilarious. And it was so quickly how God just did that. There was another time when a bunch of different churches, a bunch of different denominations and different churches went through the same Bible study book. It was after the last Bible Study Expo. It was Way of Agape by Nancy Missler. Just an awesome book. If you haven't taken your group through that, I think I've taken four or five groups through that book. Yeah, it's just an awesome book. But anyway, this one day I get a call from the pastor of this other church, and they said, would you come to Bible study this week? We're at this one particular point, and we just can't understand it. We can't get past it. And I'm like, sure, I'll come. I don't know if I can tell you anything, but I'll come. So I went to their Bible study, and they were sincerely studying the Bible and studying through this book on how our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, anyway, they'd gotten to this one point, and they asked me all kinds of questions about it, and I was having no trouble at all understanding it. And then at one point, the leader of the Bible study threw her hands up in the air and said, oh, I get it. It's a doctrinal difference. It's a denominational difference. You believe this way. We believe this way. And I said, oh, that makes perfect sense. So then I said, really, you guys can just make your mind up about what you're going to believe about this part and just go on with the study. And that's how we left it. You know, and there was no reason to have a big fight about it or whatever.
Absolutely.
And it was just beautiful to watch how all these different denominations were able to study the Bible to grow closer to Jesus Christ as a personal Savior through these different formats when they are not judged, when they are allowed to just do it in their time, in their way. Let God be the wooer. We are romancing them. We don't need to romance them. God's doing that part. Yeah, do you have any other thoughts about this, you know, non-essential denominational differences?
No, I think that your stories just really clarified all of that. I think those are wonderful, just, you know. And certainly I have done studies, you know, in the churches where I served that there was something in the study that we didn't necessarily agree with.
Right.
And you just say, you know, this isn't where our church is, but the study's wonderful. You know,
right.
The woman who authored this comes from a different denomination, and this is their perspective, and not make a big deal out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another thing I want to mention real quick for those of you who are listening and who are hosting these big events that attract women from other churches, over in the mentorship program at marnie.com, under women's event training, there's a training over there on how to host an interdenominational event, and it's real different than how to host an event just for your own church women. You really have to think it through before you open the doors in this way and just invite, you know, everybody to come in, because you don't want to be inadvertently offending people in doing so, offending Christ. You want to be loving them with the love of God, and there's a way to do that and yet honor God all simultaneously. So I encourage you to get that. Well, Kay, we only have like a couple of minutes left, and we have our last one, number 9, is what to do when a hurting member needs far more support than the Bible study can provide.
And that is certainly one of those things that you really have to pray for, because you want to love her well, but you also want to love the entire group well, and the group cannot be about one person. And so the thing that I have always done is look for help for her, to take it upon myself to try to find some outside help other than just the group itself, and asking the group, do you have other resources that we can turn her over to and point her to or take her to or whatever the situation is, and to make sure that we are loving her as one of our group members, but that the group doesn't become just about her and her needs.
Yeah. And I don't know, I've seen, I'm sure you have too, Kay, in our small groups, we have seen so much love and compassion poured out on group members experiencing difficult times. And we're not talking about just whenever somebody makes a peep, you know, ship them off to somebody else. That's not at all what we're talking about here. We're talking about the girls who maybe need counseling. It's possible that they need detoxification of some kind. They need to get professional help medically or whatever, where this is just too much for your group to week by week carry. And yet that's what she's counting on. She comes counting on that when she leaves today, she's going to be able to make it through another week. And there are times when you just have to, as a leader, you have to step in and say, we need to get her. We need to get more help here. And I think it's so healthy. It's so healthy to be able to say that we're not equipped. God has not equipped us to do this.
Well, that's right. And to make sure that the group is a prayer support for her, though.
If we
can't do everything, we can be supporting her in prayer and make sure that she knows we are.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, this brings us to the end of this hour. Kay, my new friend.